Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this first Sunday of Christmastide. This is a season in which we celebrate the presence of the Christ child. We'd like to encourage you to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row. If you're a first-time visitor to Berry Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special warm word of welcome to you. And we'd like to invite you to visit with us in the back of the church after service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do stop by and let us know this is your first visit, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. We're grateful for the assistance of Mary Davis and Patrick Beasley, as Lenora and Andrew are both out of town on vacations for the holidays. So welcome, Mary. Welcome, Patrick. After today's service, we'd be grateful for assistance from anybody who can stay with taking down and packing up our Christmas decorations that have adorned our sanctuary and the fellowship hall this past month or so. We had a wonderful time this past Christmas Eve with our services. We had over 300 people in attendance. We'd like to encourage anyone who had ordered one of the poinsettias up here, if you haven't yet taken one, please do so today after service. Please remember to pick up your giving envelopes for 2019. They're back on the table in the foyer. There's also a few extra sets if you wish to use them and weren't on the initial ordering list. Please remember to read through the bulletin announcement page and learn more about the warmth tree and the food pantry drive. And also be aware and mark your calendars next Sunday at the 11 o'clock worship service. Everyone is welcome to attend the turkey noodle lunch, which is served in appreciation for everyone's help with our annual turkey dinner back in November. And the January board meeting will follow that lunch in the upper room. Elders and deacons, please plan to attend one of the three training sessions that are offered during the Sunday school hour, both next Sunday and the Sunday after. That's January 6th or Sunday the 13th. It's also offered Monday, January 7th at 7 o'clock. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right. Would all those who are able please stand as Andrew leads us in our call to worship?
Patrick, sorry.
With our own eyes, we have seen God's salvation. A light to reveal God's will to the Gentiles.
Come, Christians, come to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ we bring. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise we with grateful voice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. Christ is our guide and friend, on whom we can depend. His love shall never end. Alleluia. Our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, his goodness we'll adore. Singing forever.
Please bow in a moment of prayer. Lord, even as we begin putting away our Christmas decorations, we're reminded that Christmas is not the end of a season, but rather it's the beginning of our Lord's presence with us. It is our God among us in human flesh who experiences birth, growing up, working, and teaching, and in death on the cross, followed by glorious resurrection. Lord, we are reminded of the passage of time, and we want to be better stewards of our gift of time. May each of us have a renewed purpose this new year to do the good work of your kingdom here on earth that you've called each of us to do. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other and to worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. Did we have a good Christmas? I already talked to about half of you about that, so yeah. A lot of people are looking a little droopy today. I think they celebrated Christmas a little too much. I think so. Anyway, I have a couple words I want to talk to you about today. The first word is resolution. Do you have any idea what resolution means? Most adults kind of drag that word out this time of year. They don't drag it out too many times during the year, but this is kind of, everybody makes a New Year's resolution. Well, simply, it's kind of a promise we make to ourselves. We promise to be better the next year. We're going to stop doing something we shouldn't do, or we're going to start doing something we should do more of, or we're going to not eat so many sweets and eat more vegetables, or we're going to not drink so much soda and we're going to drink more water, or we're going to not watch so much TV and we're going to read more, things like that. So to improve. The other word I want to talk about is motto. Do you know what a motto is? Very simply, it's either a word or a small little sentence that kind of tells people who you are, what you believe in, what you want to be like. And I learned a long time ago, for me, resolutions don't work. Because by February 14th, I am so done with a resolution. I'm tired of it. What does work for me is just trying to be the best I can be. Did you know our church kind of has a motto? Did you know that? We do. It's on the front of every program, every time we have a service. It is, honor God, seek Christ, and serve others together. I think this is a fine motto for me for the coming year. I think this is a fine motto for everybody, every day. If we honor God, then we're kinder, more loving. If we seek Christ, we read more of our Bible. And if we serve others, that's such a good thing to do, is to be kind and helpful whenever we can. Let's try and live by that motto this coming year, okay? Can you think you can do that? At least part of it? Maybe? A little bit? All right, can we have a prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, for giving us so much love all the time, for always being there, guiding us and helping us. Help us to honor you with the words that we say and the things that we do. Help us to always seek out your knowledge, seek Christ in the Bible, in the wisdom of others, and help us to always be ready to serve whenever we can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this new week, please remember Grace Kimmerling, as she is presently at North Kansas City Hospital. She keeps having a recurring problem where she faints without even realizing, or she falls without even realizing that she's falling. And that's that means you're not even getting any kind of warning to be able to catch yourself or anything. So that's just a very disconcerting problem for Grace. So please remember Grace and Jean, as again, we hope that this go round, maybe they can find out what's really going on. We want to lift up Dottie Olson as she is recovering. And Dottie, well, you're here. Dottie, God bless you. I'm glad you could make it here this morning. We're certainly lifting you up in prayer, and your daughter-in-law, Diane, as you both are recovering from that auto accident several days ago. We want to lift up Jerry Chester's cousin, Ben. We continue to remember Juanita Wyckoff as she is at the Newmark Care Center. We remember Michelle Jacobo and her family as she continues to reside at home, recovering from surgery and looking toward the treatments for cancer. We want to lift up that the memorial service for Ida Reagan will be this Saturday at the church at 2:00 in the afternoon. We also want to lift up that Hannah Stark, Klaus Stark's mother, passed away a few days ago, and her service is in Hutchinson, Kansas tomorrow, and some of our church members are going if anyone else is interested in attending with them. I think these are the major concerns we need to lift up, as certainly we've been remembering a number of other people as well. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer our thanksgiving and praise As we assemble in your house of worship this first Sunday of this season we call Christmastide, as we can imagine ourselves being present with others, gazing upon the Christ child, we are in awe at the truth that you chose to dwell in this earthly world as one of us. As we are 5 days into this time called Christmastide, marked by the 12 days after Christmas, we're reminded of a song in which gifts are given each of the 12 days. 5 golden rings, 10 lords of leaping, and on. But we know that all these material gifts pale in comparison to the great gift of your Son's presence with us and his sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sinfulness that has separated us from you. As we prepare to begin the new year of 2019, this next Tuesday, we pray, O God, that our renewed devotion to your purposes may be an honorable response of genuine appreciation for your great love expressed to us. For as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. In prayerful and devoted gratitude, therefore, O God, we seek your Spirit's guidance as we also remember the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Enjoy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 2, verses 22 through 32. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
Let them feel.
sing, let them see you. Just let them see you in me. Who am I without your grace? Another smile, another face, another breath, a grain of sand, passing quickly through you.
Thank you, Patrick and Mary. Thank you both. William Dix was a man who loved to write poetry as an avocation. Early in life, he fell seriously ill and was confined to his bed for an extended period of time. During that time, he underwent kind of a spiritual crisis as he wondered where God's presence was in the midst of that illness. He spent much of his time while lying in bed reading the scriptures and, of course, in prayer. As he regained health and strength, he devoted his life to a renewed sense of dedication to God's purposes, and he focused then much of his poetry on Christian themes, and some of those poems became hymns. You may be familiar with "Alleluia, Sing to Jesus," or "As with Gladness, Men of Old," a couple of his hymns. And there was also a poem that became a Christmas carol, which we are using for our communion hymn today, "What Child Is This?" The first stanza begins in the manger scene with the Christ child sleeping on Mary's lap, accompanied by angels and shepherds. The second verse asks, why would it be that Christ has come into such a lowly estate? And of course it is to plead for the salvation of sinners. The third verse moves into a more joyful tone, asking us to bring our gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We bring our gifts because the King of Kings has come to bring us salvation, and therefore we respond with joyfulness of heart. It is therefore in the spirit of thanksgiving that we turn to the hymn or the Christmas carol, "What Child Is This?" as we Sing hymn number 162, all three stanzas, please.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come rich and poor to own him, the King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our head as David leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this table with its symbols of your love and sacrifice, we ask that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we too may show your love to others. Bless this cup and bless this loaf. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, tells us, "Give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure that you use for others is the same one that God will use for you." As Lana leads us in a word of prayer, we receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Lana?
Dear Heavenly Father, we first thank you for the beautiful warm sunshine that you blessed us with this morning. We thank you for all the ways that we look around us each day and see you, and so, well, everything we look at, we see you. We just thank you for that. And as we take these gifts and offerings, we pray that you will show other people that they are loved and show them that you are who you are. And we ask that as we take these, that you will bless the gift and bless the givers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Again, we want to express a word of thanks, Mary, to you and to Patrick for your assistance today in Lenora and Andrew's absence. Andrew got the whole week off, and he's down in Florida with family. I mean, goodness sakes, isn't that quite the thing for working for a trucking company and get the week off after Christmas? But he's able to be off, so hope all that goes well for both of them. And we are grateful for your help. Thank you so much. Now, for those of you that missed the Christmas Eve services, again, what do you think about the tree? It's now got all the new chrismons put on it, and we're really grateful for our children's assistance and carrying that forth at the first Christmas Eve service. And by the way, I've cut out twice that many chrismons. We have 130 of them. And so if we decide to get a bigger tree, you know, one that's a little taller, that'll fill up this ceiling, we've got the chrismons to put on it. And I was already talking during Sunday school with some of our parents of the children, and we're already talking about, wouldn't it be fun next year to make some newer ones and to tell the meaning behind those, and maybe do that during one of our Advent Sunday worship services. So we're kind of already scheming for some things for next year, and we really hope that next Christmas Eve, as our children, many of them are getting older now, we want them to actually participate with some of the readings, you know, rather than just do processional kind of things. See if our younger children can really help out with conducting their service. And so we're looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun, won't it? Because hasn't it been fun to see many of our children growing up in our midst? Just in the 3 years or so that Carrie and I have been with you, it's been really wonderful. Now, did you notice up at the balcony, the baptistry, what do we have? Well, we have a baby Jesus in a manger, right? Many thanks to Kathy and to Joy for decorating with a Bethlehem scene this Advent season. But just like over here for the Nativity scene, we always put the baby Jesus out on Christmas Eve. But this year, we put a baby Jesus up at the top there. Do you see him? Up there, did you notice baby Jesus? Well, that's actually, I was just thinking back, I think that's the second time that Baby Doll has played baby Jesus. Baby Doll came into the Patience family about 27 odd years ago when Jonathan, our son, was just a tiny little boy. I think that Kathy and Carrie conspired to bring baby Doll into our midst to play the part of baby Jesus. One of these years we might have a play again and we can have maybe even a really young child to play baby Jesus. That would be fun, right? So we hope it's been an exciting, heartwarming. I was talking with one of our members at the drugstore yesterday. I asked him about how his Christmas was. He says, quiet. I said, yeah, quiet's good, isn't it? He said, it was wonderful. Just have a quiet, calm Christmas. Whatever your Christmas experience was, I hope it's been a joyful time for you. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we are indeed grateful to be in your house and to experience the great joy of Christ's presence with us. It's in his name that we give thanks. Amen. So here we are in this series of sermons that I have entitled Great Joy, because we have been lifting up, wow, what a wonderful experience it must have been for several people who experienced the Christ child in a very immediate presence in their lifetime. Of course, we talked first of all about Mary and Elizabeth. Then we talked about the shepherds. Then we talked about Zechariah. Last week, we lifted up on Christmas Sunday, if you will, the whole notion of what would it be like if you and I were the ones who were present there to experience Christ as a child. And yet the truth of the matter is all of us can experience great joy as we know Christ dwells with us even now, right? Now, most occasions would be that the next group of folks we should talk about should be, well, who? The wise men. Actually, it is the 6th of January that most churches emphasize the wise men, because that is what is called Epiphany. Epiphany is 12 days after Christmas. That's where we have that song, remember? 12 days of Christmas, partridge in a pear tree, five golden rings, blah, blah, blah. You know the song. The song, the 12 days of Christmas, was not to be sung before Christmas. It was to be sung the days after Christmas, 12 days up to Epiphany. But this year, you know, I've already talked to you about the wise men before in years past. So we're going to skip the wise men this year. This year, I want to move a little bit further ahead, 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And I want to focus on a couple of people that are often forgotten in that very early part of the Gospel of Luke. I want to talk with you about two people who were considered to be among those called the quiet of the land. Why were they given that nickname? Because they believed that when the Messiah would come into the world as a spiritual guide and a spiritual presence and an avenue of hope and peace. So these were the people called the quiet of the land. Other people were willing to believe that, no, that's not ever going to work. What we really need is we need a real king, a king of kings to come back and rule not only Israel, but all the world and restore the nation of Israel ruled as if during the time of Solomon or King David. And if it takes a military force to make that happen, fine. Those were like the zealots. And who was a zealot? We know that Judas Iscariot was more than likely a zealot. It's no wonder then he was willing to conspire in such a way that he was forcing Jesus' hand, thinking that he could press Jesus to call forth the angels from heaven if Jesus was put in a corner. And we believe that Judas Iscariot probably killed himself because the scheme did not work and he was thrown into such profound despair. You see? But what about the people of the land who believed that Jesus would come as the Messiah, but as a Messiah of peace? And in fact, how did Jesus rule? He chose to rule in the spiritual realm, not in the political or militaristic realm, right? So, in truth, Simeon and Anna, talked about in Luke chapter 2, were right. But they're often forgotten. And therefore, this Christmastide season, I want to talk about Simeon and Anna. So we look at this text, Luke chapter 2. It begins with verse 22 saying, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him in the temple, if you will. Now, this happened when a child, a male child, was born 40 days. That's when you were supposed to present your firstborn male child to the priest at the temple. That was good Jewish tradition. Now, what you have to understand is that because we know by the offering that is used, Mary and Joseph were people of very, very, very modest means. But yet, they were truly devout in their faith because they made the journey 80-some-odd miles by foot from Nazareth all the way, to Jerusalem. And presented Jesus in the temple. That was a pretty profound obligation on their part to do this. Yet they were fiercely devoted to God and willing to make this commitment. We're not going to talk about that now. We'll wait till later. What I want to focus on today is the man Simeon. You know, we don't know anything more about him than what you see in the text. Here, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. That's all we know. Was he wealthy? Was he poor? We don't know. We know he lived in Jerusalem. We know it was convenient for him to go to the temple. What we know more than anything is that he committed a great deal of his time and energy to trying to do godly things, like worship, like prayer, like study of the Word. Those things we all ought to be doing, he just did in a profoundly devout way, to the extent that he's just really connected up with God in a most remarkable way. And the text says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's that? Well, it simply means that he was hoping for the coming of the Messiah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Messiah would come? Now, he just happened to also be fortunate that his time of life on earth really coincided significantly with God's plan, right? And so he just happened to be around at the time Christ was really born. He probably was not the one and only devout Jewish person who was desiring to be alive when the Messiah would come. Surely that desire had resided among people for hundreds of years. In fact, it had been several hundred years since there had been a prophet with a viable voice among the Jewish people. They were hungering, many of them were, for a word from God. And Simeon, the text tells us as we continue on with verse 25, that the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, Simeon's aging by this point. He doesn't have much life yet left, right? And you know, it's really kind of troublesome to kind of make your way through the journey of your life. And maybe there was just something that's been a profound yearning in your heart all your life, and it never has really come about. You may know what that is. Maybe it's some sort of reconciliation. Maybe it's being in a certain place. Maybe it's aspiring towards some particular goal. Whatever it is, you know, the clock is ticking and not much time left. It doesn't look like that great dream in your heart of hearts is going to come about. But for Simeon, we don't know how, whether it was a vision, whether it was a voice, whether it was a dream, all of those which we have seen, a God intervening, or the Spirit of God, or the angels intervening into people's lives. We saw it with Mary, we saw it with Joseph, we've seen it with other people in Scripture. Somehow, the Spirit of God intervened into that day-to-day existence for Simeon and said, Simeon, guess what? You will be alive to see the Messiah. However that message was conveyed to him, it must have been profound. And the text tells us that on a certain day, when Mary and Joseph were presenting Jesus at the temple, the Spirit said, Simeon, today's the day. The child is appearing. Go to the temple. You know, the Spirit really does want to work in our lives. And even in my own life, I have seen several instances where just a hint in my consciousness. In one case, as I've told you before, a voice saved me from driving through an intersection where I would have been killed. I've shared that story with you. Other times, it's interesting to note that every once in a while, a person's name will just repeatedly come up in my consciousness. And if you follow up on those sort of hints, it's really God's way of guiding you in ways that may make a difference for other people. Doesn't turn their world upside down. It just means others are blessed. One day, Simeon got the word somehow. Simeon, today's the day. Go back to the temple. You know where it is. You've been there a lot of times. Look for the child. And we know that as the Holy Spirit led him, it says that with verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law. Simeon took the child into his arms and praise God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, a light of revelation to all people throughout the whole world. That's what that text means. And to the glory of your people Israel as well. Wow, don't you know, this was the highlight of Simeon's life. Oh, he had been dreaming of this, hoping for this all his life, and be the timing as it was, he just happened to be blessed, but guided by the Spirit, because he had been receptive to the Spirit's call, receptive to the Spirit's guidance. You know, so many times we think God is so far away from us. No, God's not far away from us. We're just far away from God. We choose to separate ourselves from God. We get so preoccupied with stuff of the world, we forget to be thinking about godly things. We need to be immersed in Scripture. We need to be immersed in prayer. And if we do that, if we are immersed in worship, the Spirit of God will communicate with us. You have to believe that with all your heart. If you believe it, it will happen. I'm convinced. It was happening here for Simeon, and he was profoundly blessed. Great joy filled his heart, his soul, at the very moment. Here, he's just not holding any child. He's holding in his arms. And I think, wow, even Mary, imagine Mary, said, here comes this old guy. You want me to give you my baby? The first time I've laid eyes on you, I don't know who you are. Ha, talk about trust. But here, Mary, She must have known. She gives this child to the man. He's just holding this baby just for a few minutes, and yet what incredible revelation is made. What is the fact is that in the Jewish way of thinking, it would be as if Simeon is taking on the prophetic voice. We've talked about that before. People blessed with the privilege to take on the prophetic voice. Remember, Elizabeth was blessed with the privilege of taking on the prophetic voice as Mary came up before her. Right? Simeon has the prophetic voice, the joy of that privilege. But what does all this have to do with you and me? It means, you know, we don't know how we're going to be blessed. But what we are encouraged to do is to be faithful. For in our faithfulness, God will truly bless us. You know, many of you know about Mother Teresa. When she was young, she had several occasions in which she had spiritual encounters that were very profound and I think probably really led her to be as devoted in her life as she was. But as the years went on, those encounters ceased. And as she aged and certainly yearned for those kind of encounters, they didn't happen. And she puzzled over that. There were some writings that you can read about her life where she puzzles on that whole notion. But in her early life, she'd been blessed with those encounters that were profound, wonderful experiences. There was an occasion in which a U.S. senator was touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa, and they visited, again, the place that was nicknamed the House of the Dying, where sick children were cared for in their last days. There was also a dispensary there where hundreds of people, very poor people, lined up in line to receive medical attention. Watching Mother Teresa minister to these people, the senator asked her, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it all?" And Mother Teresa responded, "My dear senator, I am not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful." I think the great joy of Simeon is telling us we're called to be faithful. We don't know whether we're going to be blessed by some sort of miraculous guidance of the Spirit. We don't know. But the truth of the matter is, we are filled with great joy in the midst of our faithfulness. As 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He gave us new life by raising Christ from death." This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for His people, not here on earth, but where? In heaven. We can experience great joy in our faithfulness to God's calling in our lives, here and now. For we know one day we will all be gathered in His eternal glory and greatness. Right? And for this we praise God. Do you not know Christ? If you don't, today's your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 159. There's a song in the air. Let us stand and sing all stanzas, hymn number 159, please.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the angel choirs sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles the King. There's a trumpet of joy o'er the wonderful birth. For the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. See, the star rains its fire while the angel choir sing, and the manger of Bethlehem. hails a king. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. And we welcome the glorious gospel they bring, and we greet in the cradle our Savior and King.
We thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning. We do want to remind you, right after the service, we certainly can use many able-bodied folks to help us out, as we do need to kind of dismantle. Unfortunately, we have to dismantle everything. Kind of go back to the plain old ordinary, right? But your assistance would be greatly appreciated. Remember, next week we've got the turkey noodle dinner after the 11 o'clock service. That'll be a lot of fun. Everybody's certainly welcome to that. And we thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and holy God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us. For this we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I wander as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wander as I wander out under the sky. I wander as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wander as I wander out under the sky, out under the sky.